Folks, the Sunscreen Film Festival is coming to St. Pete, the 24th through the 27th. It is a star-studded event, and we are so happy to have Jim O'Hare, the American actor and comedian best known for his role as Jerry Gergich on the NBC sitcom Parks and Recreation. He is so much more. Jim, welcome to Radio St. Pete.
Hi, Nana. Thank you for having me. I'm excited about this festival.
Yes, I am too. Is this your first time coming to the Sunscreen Festival in its 20 years?
It is my first time at the festival and in St. Pete, so I'm excited about the whole thing.
That is terrific, and we actually have a bar called Parks and Recreation here just around the corner from where the Sunscreen Film Festival is being held.
I did not know that. I have to check that out. That's awesome.
I will email you that. So let's just jump right into this. Jim, how did you get involved in this very dark and yet very provocative film? How did this happen?
It was one of those weird things. I get, the blessing of being on a show like Parks and Rec that ran for so long and had a lot of exposure, it opens up a lot of doors. And so, often I get scripts sent to me to take a look at or offers for different projects. Well, this one, they kept trying to get to me, and it couldn't. Just my agents would read it, or anyway, it never got to Jim O'Hare himself. It would kind of be pushed off. The creator, writer, director, Lucas Lane, he's young, and I think they thought, oh, this young kid has just put this little piece together. So it never got to me. But then I got a message from Brian Dennehy, the actor. His daughter is someone I've worked with before. And she reached out to me and she said, Jim, a former student of mine named Lucas Lane has written this piece for you. And he's been trying to get it to you. And they're having, it keeps hitting the walls and it never actually gets to you. Can I send it to you? And her name is Elizabeth. And I said, of course. I mean, a friend of hers, she said, he's such a talented kid. I think this might be something you want to look at. So I got it and I read it. And then I immediately was, first of all, blown away that such a young person put this together. It's a short film and it's smart and edgy. But then my first thought was, this is scary. This would be a role like I've never done before, truly like I've never done. And that, of course, scared me. So, but because he was a friend of Elizabeth, I got on the phone with him and we chatted and he told me what his plan was and how he had thought of me from day one, and he said, we're going to go to Spain and we're going to shoot this in Spain, which I'm like, what are you talking about? I just assumed they were going to use LA for Spain, make it work. He goes, no, I want to do it there. And so it took a lot of thinking for me, because for when people see this film, they will see why. This is unlike anything I've ever done, but that being said, I am so glad that I've done it. I'm so proud of the piece. I'm so proud of Lucas. I'm so proud of the team he put together. But that's how it ended up getting to me. It took a while. It took a while. And eventually, a former teacher of the director brought it to my door.
Well, I'm just going to tell the audience just a little synopsis of this so we can set it up. So it's after a heart-wrenching divorce, a middle-aged tourist, that's you, Jim, navigates the streets of Barcelona, the city where he proposed to his former love. As night falls, his reality blurs, transforming mind and body in unexpected ways. And you're wandering the streets. You find yourself swept into the orbit of young, reckless locals, and they pull you into an intoxicating night of drugs, laughter, violence, and surreal encounters. And just like Death in the Ingmar Bergman film, you become the tourist, not just a man, but the tourist, and you're spiraling through a kaleidoscope of pleasure and pain. You really had to dig deep for this film. What did you look to in your life to sort of give you this spiritual desperation and then spiritual uplifting?
That's a great question, because when I was a younger actor, I don't think I could have pulled this off. I really don't. I think it's taking having lived the life I've led, which has been a very blessed life, but like everybody, certainly sadness and grief at certain points. That's just, it's called living a life. And that's what I had to dig into, because this is a very emotional film. I find as I get older, it's nice he called me middle-aged. I'm 63. Some would say just damn old. But I find as I get older, I can get to those emotional spots much easier than I ever could have. And again, I think it's just because I've lived a life. So that's what I dug into. You know, I haven't experienced what this character has experienced, but I've experienced, you know, my own, you know, we've all had tragedies in our lives. And that is what I dug into. I find also that as I'm getting older, as much as I'm known for comedy, and I love comedy, it's certainly in me. It's been my bread and butter for many, many years. I love the chance to do drama. I'm working now on this project with Hulu called The Murdaugh Murders, and it's a dramatic role, and I just love getting these opportunities. So yeah, but this one, I had to dig deep, and not just emotionally, but physically too, because there are shots when I'm running through the streets of Barcelona. And at one point I said to Lucas, it was like 2 a.m. in some grotto area in Barcelona. And I said, we were on our like 6th take. And I said, dude, I'm doing whatever you want me to do, but keep in mind, I'm 62 years old and I'm fat and you got me running through these streets. Something's going to give. I don't know if it's going to be my knees or my heart or my back, but something is going to give. I can truly say, and I've done a lot of different projects over the years. I have over, as somebody recently told me, I have over 200 credits on IMDb. This was the hardest thing I've ever shot. And I am so grateful that I didn't turn it down. I could have easily turned it down just for the fact that it was going to be too hard. But I'm glad I did it. But no, it was hard, hard, hard.
And it's only 28 minutes. So I watched the trailer, and of course I looked at all the photos, and honestly, the surreal, it's just an incredibly, image-wise, it's a mix of Dolly and Nightmarish and Ingmar Bergman and Death and all of these, you know, really international, iconic films done just so beautifully. But I want to touch on the masculinity. It's just, you know, in an era where men are allowed to cry and allowed to feel grief, how does the tourist deal with his inner chaos in this? And how did you look to yourself to express that? I mean, you have a beautiful face. Even when you're doing comedy, you have a million different ways that you express things with your eyes, which is what I noticed in the pictures of this. So what did you do to sort of get yourself, did you read certain books? You know, besides the script, did you listen to certain music? Did you watch certain films to get yourself ready to really show those emotions in just the smallest gestures of your face?
Well, thank you for saying that about my face. I love to hear that. I did a lot of stuff. Number one, I felt a lot of, and this wasn't purposely put on me. I put this on myself, a lot of weight on my shoulders because Lucas, the director, writer of this, he put everything on the line for this. His family and friends came to his rescue to make this happen. And I'm talking financially and physically and, so much crazy stuff happened with producers in Spain. And I mean, it really was such a thing. So I wanted to bring it. I did not want to show up and just get through this for a free trip to Spain. That was never my intention. So for me, I have all my weird little things I do. I watched a ton of stuff on Barcelona because this is where my romance with my wife began, the wife that we end up separating. But this is where it began. And I knew that we were going to travel around the area. So I was watching different YouTube videos of all that kind of stuff. And it's funny you mentioned music. Music is a big thing for me. And so I was playing a lot of Spanish music from the era. And yeah, I just kind of put myself in that headspace. The trick for me is to be able to go back to that because now you're on a set and there's cameras and there's people and there's your shots you have to cut because people are walking through, and yet you still have to be able to get yourself back to that space. And with time, I've become pretty good at that. So that wasn't too bad. But yeah, I use kind of all my little tricks. I think we all have some natural instincts that we use at the moment, and because you never know when you're working with another actor, you never know what they're going to bring. And for me, the greatest thing about acting, and I can't stress this enough, is when you feel a connection with the other actor. That's the real deal. When you are eye to eye, and it's just working. It's just, even now, that makes me so excited. It's why I love what I do. But you don't always get that, because sometimes another actor and you just, for whatever reason, aren't clicking. But in this case, everything clicked. The woman who, there's two very important women in this. One, my ex-wife, and then this young person who comes into my world while I'm in Spain. And I don't know this, but she's manipulating me and drugging me. But both of those actors were just phenomenal, and it really made all the difference.
It's a very edgy script, fueled by drugs and violence and, surrealism. How was it to work with such a young group of, I want to say the young anarchists, this sort of cultural, I mean, really, I would feel sort of a cultural gap myself. Did you have to kind of source this kind of lifestyle in order to really gel with all of the actors?
Oh, no, you nailed it. I am, we shot this, I was 62. The director, writer, I believe Lucas is 24, I think 24.
Right.
The DP was 23, maybe 24. The crew, these are young people. I love young people, of course, but, they speak a different language, and they know how to look at their phone and make wonderful things happen. And so I really love that part of it, but I'm sure they looked at me like, oh, this old SOB. But I love it. I think I probably loved it more than they did. I love the energy of being around the young people, and it is fun to watch them create. This was a low budget issue. So there wasn't when you're on sets where money isn't a big deal, things can just happen. Someone needs something and all of a sudden it's there. But these young people are piecing it together and they're pulling stuff out of the thin air. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Their energy is crazy. They were working around the clock. As much as I was exhausted by the end of this shoot, I would say to them, I don't know how they're still walking, because we were shooting nights and I'd get to go back to the hotel. They're prepping for the next day. It really, they're incredible. But it's, I was young once too, and I did all that kind of crazy stuff.
Right, because you didn't get where you were without the same kind of thing. So, folks, if you've just joined us on Radio St. Pete today, we are talking to the one and only Jim O'Hare. He is going to be in a very special film that is not premiering here. I'm going to ask him in a minute where it did premiere, at the Sunscreen Film Festival, the 24th through the 27th, El Rebote. It's a surreal and visceral meditation on grief, masculinity, and set in Barcelona. And, how do we find the will to go on? So, Jim, I noticed that you actually won an award for a dramatic role in the past. So, people know you for your comedy, but you were an outstanding Emmy winner for your role in The Bold and the Beautiful. Can you just share with our audience a minute who you were in that role?
Yeah, well, actually, I did win it for that, and it's shocking, but it was a comedic role in a drama, in a daytime drama. And it was to this day, the whole thing was so crazy. I certainly never expected it. They were doing kind of a cameo with me and Monica Haran from Everybody Loves Raymond. She played the brother's wife on Everybody Loves Raymond. And they thought it would be fun to have these two recognizable actors do this thing. So we did four episodes, and somehow I got nominated. And never in a million years thinking I would win. And I went to the ceremony, and I even planned to leave the ceremony early. And then Larry King was the one presenting it. He said, ladies and gentlemen, the winner is Jim O'Hare. I'm like, what is happening? But it was exciting. And yes, it sits on a little mantle in my house. It's an Emmy award. It was really crazy. But it was actually for drama. But I can tell you, right after Parks and Rec ended, I did a movie called Middleman. And that is a very, very dark comedy. And it was the first time I got to put it out there that I'm not just the comedy guy. And of course, my fear also was, after playing Jerry for 7 years, Jerry Gergich on Parks and Rec, that you get labeled, like, this is all the guy does. And, I'm an actor. I've done a lot of different things. And so the movie Middleman was my way of saying, hey, there's more to me than just what you see, you know, on an NBC sitcom.
Well, and Better Call Saul isn't exactly a light and lively show as well.
Exactly.
Right?
Sure, absolutely. No, I've had my share of dramas here and there years ago. Young people wouldn't even know what I'm talking about. It was a show called Diagnosis Murder with Dick Van Dyke. And I got
right?
to play this really sick serial killer. And I love when I get the chance to do the drama stuff. I just love it.
Jim, do you have, I know you live in L.A., I'm a San Diego girl, worked for the L.A. papers myself. Do you miss Chicago and the great food? And do you miss doing sketch comedy and stand-up comedy?
Well, I've never done stand-up, but the sketch comedy I love. I love sketch comedy, yes. I would do it again tomorrow if the opportunity were there. As far as Chicago, I have been in L.A. now 30 years into that, and I'm telling you, Chicago is what I still call home. And I love L.A. Like, I'm not knocking L.A. at all. I'm sitting here right now. It is gorgeous outside. There's nothing to complain about. But I was raised in Chicago. It's where I trained. It's where I had my comedy group. It's where I began this journey. So for me, Chicago it still has my heart, I would say.
What is it about Chicago that has really given rise to, you know, it's not just the comedy troupe White Noise that you were in, but, you know, it's Second City. I mean, what is it about the Chicago theater scene that is like nothing I've ever seen, even in New York? What's given rise?
I couldn't agree more. You're totally right. It's like nothing I've ever seen either. And one of the things that's amazing about it is you can learn. You can really learn that. I tell new actors all the time, go to Chicago. They have the little black box theaters where you can work with other actors and do shows and create shows or do already produced shows, famous shows. It doesn't matter. But the nice part is the city supports it. And I don't mean the government. I'm talking about the people. The people show up. Like there is such a warmth and a love for the theatrical community in Chicago that I haven't seen anywhere else. Now, of course, in New York, you got Broadway, and people,
right.
I love Broadway, people love Broadway, but I'm talking about these little theaters that hold 50 seats sometimes, and people show up to watch these people create and learn. And for me, and everyone's different, and as much as I've taken classes and I've done all that, I have learned most of the stuff that I treasure and I use day to day, I've learned from other actors, working with them and watching them. And if it's considered stealing, then I'll proudly say I stole from them. Because that is, for me, watching them do good work and learning how they made that happen, I don't know. That totally works for me. And Chicago is a welcoming city. And you can also learn, you know, eventually you want to get your Screen Actors Guild card and your AFTRA card and all that kind of stuff. And Chicago is a great place to make that happen.
Absolutely. And, you know, St. Pete, you will find, I don't know how long you'll be here, is actually a cultural mecca in Florida that I didn't expect coming out of, you know, Southern California. So do you have aspirations to do theater? Is that something that you'd like to, you know, you've done film, you've done TV, you've done sketch comedy. Would you like to do Broadway or theater? And if so, what role would you love to do?
Well, Nanette, I would love to do Broadway. I do a lot of theater. I still do theater. I do every couple of years. There's a theater in Kansas City called the New Theater that is I call it the preeminent regional theater in the country. It's 650 seats. They do a Broadway run where it's 8 shows a week. I mean, it's really pretty amazing. And I'm going back there actually this coming November. But yes, oh my God, I just had a conversation yesterday. A buddy of mine is about to open in Stranger Things on Broadway.
Wow.
Yeah, they opened this week. And, you know, and it's so funny because he's always like, I want to be on a TV series. And I'm like, I want to be on a Broadway show. So, you know, we all have our bucket list things. I would love it. Broadway it's that carrot that is dangling in front of me that I keep reaching for. And, yes, the opportunity came. And as far as a role, I'm open to whatever they let me do on Broadway. But I'd love here's the thing. This is pathetic, but I'm a mediocre singer. And by that I mean I can carry a tune. That's pretty much it. But in my heart of hearts, I would love to do a big Broadway musical, you know, just putting it all out there. And the only chance I think I could really ever have it that would be Hairspray, because the role of Edna, the mother, is always played by a dude. You know, George Wendt has played it, and Harvey Fierstein, and so, you know, it's always played by a big dude, and it's very much character singing, so I could get away with that. So, yeah, that's probably the only hope I'd have in a big musical, but believe me, if Broadway called, I've even said to my reps, you tell them, I'll put myself up. You don't even have to give me, like, housing or anything. I'll make it all happen. You just get me on a show on Broadway. So, yes, that is a bucket list item.
America, are you listening? See, I was going to say Zero Mostel.
Oh, I've been told that.
Zero Mostel, you know? I could see you in that.
It.
I don't know why, you know? A
I
funny thing happened on the way to the forum.
Oh, my God, are you kidding? I'd kill for that.
So, Jim, I just, I want to, before we wrap this up, and I want to thank you for making time for our audience here in St. Pete and, of course, nationally. What advice do you give to young actors and comedians just getting started to hone their craft?
I always say learn. Do. So do, you know, if you're a comedian, which again, I don't do stand-up, but I have so many friends that do, go to all the open mics, go there, fail, failing is okay. And I always tell people, I think a great way, even if you have no interest in doing this eventually, take improvisation classes, like at Second City, at UCB, I'm sure they're all over the country. The big ones are, you know, IO and you know, Improv Olympic all the Second City, all the big ones throughout the country. You learn so much through improvisation. You learn how to be in front of an audience. You learn how to work with other actors, and that's important. But I always tell the young people, just keep studying, keep learning, take class after class. It's not easy. It's a ridiculous industry in many ways, and I love every second of it, even though it is ridiculous. I've also been very blessed because it worked out. I heard something recently, and this really it took me to my core. At any one point, only 2% of Screen Actor Guild, so union actors, are working at the same time. Think about that number, 2%. That's not a lot. That's not a lot at all. So if you're in that 2%, be grateful. I just always tell the young people, and the other curse is, if this is a passion, you have to try it. You just do. You have to go for it. You know, it's one thing, like I thought I wanted to be an accountant when I went into college. Well, I didn't know anything about that. It was just something I thought I needed to say I was going to do something. And then when I started doing this, you know, the acting thing, it struck my heart, and I knew I would do this forever. I never thought it would pay my bills, but I knew I needed to do this. And so if you're young and you're starting and you have it in your gut, like, I got to do this, you got to try. I'm not saying it'll be what you end up doing, but you've certainly got to try. So go to the classes, watch other actors. Again, this is me saying, steal from other actors, watch their process and see what works for you.
Jim O'Hare, it's just been a delight talking to you. Folks, please go see Jim and El Rabote. It follows one man's journey amidst divorce in the city where he first fell in love. It blends a verite documentary, magical realism, and surrealism to immerse viewers in a fantastical world. But what it really talks about is nostalgia, love, and hope. And on deeper examination, Jim O'Hare is a man who confronts his own mental health, the experiences and emotions they're conditioned to contain. Jim, we look forward to seeing you in St. Pete. Thank you so much for joining us on Radio St. Pete.
My pleasure. Can't wait to get there.